We're coming to Habakkuk chapter 1 this morning. The words of the national anthem. Australians, all, let us rejoice, for we are young and free. In joyful strains, then let us sing, advance Australia fair. So that's our national anthem. It says rejoice and be joyful. And you can take those words on your lips, Christian, this morning, but is that really what is in your heart and your mind at this particular moment in Australia's history? In particular, as we think of a postal poll on same-sex marriage, it may well be perhaps the case that in your heart you rather have a very deep and a grave concern. Is it possible today that you are rather burdened and even distressed rather than rejoicing and joyful as you read the daily news just generally, as you see the direction Australia is taking? Are you perhaps burdened this morning? Are you burdened this morning? And if so, how are you going to deal with that? How are you going to cope with that distress? So we come to Habakkuk chapter 1. We have the prophet Habakkuk. He's a 7th century BC prophet in Jerusalem. And you can see straight away there is a man with a burden. Now, my version actually translates it that way. Verse 1, the burden which the prophet Habakkuk saw. Now, some versions will quite correctly put it, the oracle which the prophet Habakkuk saw. He's received a burden, in fact, from God. It's the responsibility of proclaiming the word of God. So that's his burden he's got. But as you move into verse 2, you'll see he's also very much burdened by his society. He lived in the days of the evil king Manasseh, or maybe it was Jehoiakim. He was not singing in Jerusalem, Jerusalemites, all, let us rejoice. He was a burdened man. And it would have been very hard for him to bring the word of God into that context. And so he has a burden from God and a burden for his society. How does he deal with his burden? How does he respond? So 3 points for you this morning. 3 points for you, the burdened people of God. How do you deal with this? And you'd better strap yourself in and tighten your seatbelt this morning too, because this is going to get a bit bumpy. This is not cheery material. So fasten your seatbelts. Firstly this morning, people of God, firstly, be burdened. Be the burdened people of God this morning. Be distressed by what you see when you read the newspaper, when you watch the evening news. When you see what you see in this society, how can you not be burdened? Now come back with me, if you will, to 1943 for a moment. I want to go back to the 21st of August, 1943. Almost exactly 74 years ago, something happened of some significance in Australian history. There's no particular reason why you'd know the date, but it was a significant moment. On that day, 21st of August 1943, the Labor politician Dame Tagney entered the Australian Senate. She was the first woman senator in the Australian Parliament. Which isn't my particular interest this morning. What's fascinating is what she said in her maiden speech to the Senate. She made some predictions about Australia's great future. And she predicted that in the future, here in Australia, there would be better education and transportation. She predicted there would be equality between the sexes. There would be the ready availability of divorce, which she saw as a good thing. And she said that as Australia progressed, there would be a decline in criminality, in theft, and in violence. So that is how she saw it, that in this progressive nation, that Australia would move into this collectivist utopia. We'd have the equality of the sexes, we'd have the massive redistribution of wealth, because that's what she advocated for as well, and violence and theft, well, that would become outmoded in this society, outdated. And here we are, 74 years later, have we moved into this wonderful utopia. It almost seems quaint, doesn't it, that she could think that? Do you sense that we're living in a utopia today? Just have a look out on Australian society. All is well. Do we have better education? I'm sure we do, because the number plates tell me we do. We're living in the education state, aren't we? That's what I read. But have you seen what our state government teaches our children in schools? And better transportation, she thought that was important. We do have air-conditioned trains, I think that's pretty good. I do notice the roads are often a bit clogged, but that's neither here nor there really. We do have the massive redistribution of wealth. Someone's got to balance the budget at some point. We have greater equality between the sexes. We've been through feminism. Now we're at homosexualization. And we're up to the degenderization, the degendering of society. And frankly, Australia is in and heading more and more into an increasing whirlwind of pain for people who are just lost. They just lost in themselves. And she predicted lower rates of crime and violence. I mean, how is that working out for us? Is that what we see? Do you want me to go and quote the crime figures? Do we need to talk about the blight of domestic violence in our society? Do we need to talk about organized crime? Do we need to talk about road rage? We had to coin a new term to explain what we see. We live in a violent society. We see violence. Well, in the nightclubs, of course. Violence on the streets of Melbourne. We see violence in the schools and universities just last week. We see violence in the homes. We seem to have become a very abusive society. We see violence with our words as well. I think Australians have become, we've become a nation of protesters and angry letter writers and lawyer hirers. This is what we see when we hear the news, when we read the newspaper. We see a society that's becoming unstuck. Are you feeling burdened yet? And you might be saying, oh, Jared, you're just looking at the negatives. You're missing all the positives of being here in Australian society. In actual fact, I'm seeing things in the way that Habakkuk saw them. Because Habakkuk catalogues the bad things in his society. It doesn't mean there weren't good things in his society as well, but there were bad things, and the bad things were bad, and they were distressing. They were burdensome. Let's see it as Habakkuk saw it. Come to the text. Skip verse 2 for a moment, if you'll allow me. Come to verses 3 to 4. Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble, for plundering and violence are before me? There's strife. Contention arises. The law is powerless. Justice never goes forth. The wicked surround the righteous. Perverse judgment proceeds. What does Habakkuk see? Verse 3, the first of those doublets there, what does he say? Iniquity and trouble. That's what I see in society. That's just his general summary of it all. Iniquity, trouble. And when you see youths rampaging on the streets of Melbourne, don't just say social inequality. You just say, well, that's sin. It's iniquity, call it what it is. Verse 3, second doublet, plundering and violence. If I can change the tone for a moment, the Meyer stock take sale here. The Meyer stock take sale, plundering. People charging through the door, trampling each other to get the bargain, but that's Australia. We're a nation of plunderers. We rip off third world workers. We use the tax system to vote ourselves a handout. We plunder the rich. In the church you hear stories of trust funds being misapplied. That's plundering. Verse 3 still, the final doublet, strife and contention. A society that is fracturing, you see, with factions and parties and bickering and biting and devouring. And we say, oh, that's what happens in Canberra. It's also what happens in families, isn't it? Family life in Australia is so often rather family strife. Strife and contention. That's often people's experiences of family. I know when I was growing up, I can honestly say I did not see my mum and dad fight. Now, they must have had issues, but I wouldn't know what they were. They must have sorted them out behind closed doors. I never heard raised voices. And you see, in our society, we barely believe it's possible. Could that have been? Can it be like that? Aren't husbands and wives necessarily locked in strife and contention? Isn't that family? Isn't family about manipulation and power? And we see strife and contention in the church as well. Let's not go there into church politics and so on. But how could we not be burdened? Do you see what Habakkuk sees? But wait, we forgot verse 4, didn't we? Verse 4, injustice, he says. Injustice. Perverse judgment proceeds. The judges of Habakkuk's day took bribes. And the rich could get away with murder. I've got to say, here in Australia, the legal system's actually pretty good. Our judges don't normally take bribes, as far as we know, do they? But we have a more fundamental problem. Because here in Australia, it's the law itself that has become perverse. We understand human law is a reflection of religious belief. Human law is based on what a society believes. And once in Western society, we believe the scriptures. And so the law that we had, well, it was largely a reflection of God's law. But now we've moved away from that. And we see the change in the law, the continuing change in the law. Do we need to go through the list of the law that is contrary to God's law in our society? And here in Victoria, it's euthanasia that's being proposed at the moment. Federally, of course, same-sex marriage. Habakkuk says perverse judgment proceeds. How could you not be burdened this morning, people of God? Add all of this up. How could you not be burdened? What are you seeing here? You are seeing a society that is falling apart. And you can't just pass it off as nothing. You can't just downplay it. You can't just quote some statistics and hope to minimize it. There is something fundamentally wrong with our society. There is something fundamentally wrong when families are battlegrounds. There's something fundamentally wrong when you see people out in the streets who want to blow us up. We haven't spoken about terrorism yet. And there's something fundamentally wrong when our society thinks that same-sex marriage is a valid question to be asked. And you are right to be burdened. You should be burdened. There's something wrong here. You're right to feel it. We're right to say it. And you see, Jesus wept over Jerusalem. How could we not be weeping? Normally from the pulpit we say, be at peace. Be at peace. Now we say, be burdened. If you value God's way, then you'll be burdened. If you really do care about your neighbour, that's Australian society, you'll be burdened. If you want the gospel to go out unhindered, you'll be burdened in Australian society today. So be burdened, firstly, people of God. Now, secondly, moving a bit more quickly, secondly, yes, be burdened, but then secondly, be a bit careful with that too. Be a bit careful with that. Because what's the effect of all of this upon you? What is the effect of all of that upon your faith? There's a very real problem or danger here for you this morning. Yes, we can see the social problem. But the problem arises for us. We might see something else as well, something we ought not to be seeing. You can see the social problem, but do you also see a theological problem? In other words, we can see things are wrong in the country, but are you thinking perhaps there's something wrong with God? We might see something we shouldn't see, but we look at Habakkuk. He's got this burden for his society. He does seem to find a problem with God. We come back to verse 2. O Lord, how long shall I cry and you will not hear? Even cry out violence and you will not save. Verse 3, why do you show me iniquity? Why do you cause me to see trouble? Habakkuk thinks there's a problem with God. God is somehow at fault here. And you can sense his desperation. He's at the end of his tether here. Society falling apart. You can imagine Habakkuk's done everything he can to try and save his community. He's probably preached. He would have letterbox dropped. He would have got on Facebook and tried to spread the message. He would have lived a righteous life. But no one was watching. No one was listening. And he's poured his heart out to his God. That's what he says in verse 2. I've been praying. That's what you should be doing, of course. Be praying. Lord, save our nation. Bring the revival that we need. Habakkuk's been praying. Where's the answer? God doesn't seem to act. This is the problem. Now, how many times have you prayed to God to save our nation, to turn things around? What's the response been? What's the response been? We see some victories along the way, but the overall trajectory continues unabated. And you see, it really it really can eat away inside. It can eat away at your faith and say, oh Lord, how long? Why don't you help? God begins to feel remote. God, do you even hear me? Hello, anybody home? He even says, why do you let me see all this? I don't want to see this happening. Why are you being so cruel to me? As though God's engineered the downfall of society just so he can be nasty to us. You see, it can be hard. In a godless nation, it can be hard to keep your faith alive. Jesus would have felt that temptation. A temptation at the cross to think that God had just gone away, that there was no help. Why do you show me iniquity? Why do you cause me to see trouble? God, if you cared for me, you would change this society. You'd make the nightly news only positive. So be burdened, yes, but be a little bit careful with this. It is a problem for your faith. You've got to recognize it's a problem for your faith. As the moral ice age descends on our nation, you could easily catch a theological cold. So be burdened, but be careful. And don't be your own worst enemy here. Don't make a bad situation worse by turning on God, by doubting. Don't fail to see God at work. Don't fail to see his covenant love. In a sense, don't be like Habakkuk here with all of his questions. We should rather be more like Christ at the cross, who still says, you're my God. You're my God. It's all in hand. I know that. Now, maybe you've actually asked some of these questions here. Have you actually asked some of these questions? God, why are you showing me all this? Where are you? If you've asked those questions, does that make you a bad Christian today? Does that make you a bad Christian? I'm going to wag my finger at you and say, you of little faith, how dare ye? And I think this is where Habakkuk is particularly helpful. I mean, this is even the prophet of God asking these questions. We're at least in good company. Now, they're reasonable questions, really. We've got to give the right answers to them, but they're reasonable questions. And look, the point here is, in the lead up to the same-sex marriage poll, don't be a bit surprised if you get a bit shaky in your faith occasionally. Don't be a bit surprised if you get a bit anxious, a bit worried. It'll happen. Now, sometimes we will tell you off for not having enough faith. That happens. We'll do that too. But in this context, in a context of a society that asks an absurd question, this is an absurdity that's being asked. It's amazing you've got any faith at all, if that's our context. So be burdened, but be careful as well. Be self-aware, as it were. Be on guard. Guard your faith. There's a challenge to your faith here. Now, finally, moving very quickly now, verses 5 to 11. Finally this morning, you've also got to be watchful and wait to see what God will do. What we really want to know is there a solution to the problem? Can the nation be cured? Can my burden be lifted? As we come to the final sermon point, this is surely what you want to know. Can my burden be lifted? Jared, give us that killer sermon point that's going to send us out of here with our hearts soaring. All is well. Be of good cheer. Give us that killer sermon point that gives us the assurance we need. You're looking for the killer response today? The killer response to it all? Well, let's come to it now, the killer response, because it really is a killer response. A response from God here. You think you see violence in the land, you ain't seen nothing yet. Verses 5 to 11, the Lord makes an address to the nation here. It's an address to the nation, it's in the plural, it's not just to Habakkuk. Nationally televised event, God appears on telly, this is what he says. Look among the nations and watch. Be utterly astounded. I will work a work in your days which you would not believe, though it were told you. For I indeed am raising up the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, a bitter and hasty nation, which marches through the breadth of the earth to possess dwelling places that are not theirs, and so on and so forth. This is a killer response. God is saying here, I am sending judgment on the corrupt society. It is going to be violence for violence. I am going to fight fire with fire. And he says, be shocked. Be amazed. I send the Babylonians, and they are not nice people. They're horrendous people. Look through verses 5 to 11, the description given of them. They are fierce, they are violent, they are scornful, they're unpredictable, they're sinful, they're idolatrous, they're offensive. And I send them to you, and they will raise Jerusalem to the ground. They will destroy the nation. That's God's answer. You thought God wasn't watching. He's watching. You thought God wasn't present. He's present. You thought God doesn't act. He's the God of action. How's that? As an answer to your prayers. Is that what you were looking for? Is that what Habakkuk was looking for? That's not what he wanted. He wanted salvation for the nation. It's a killer response. What does that mean for Australia? God will send the Babylonians to us? We're going to be nuked by the North Koreans? Is that the message? All we can do is wait for God's judgment? That's probably not quite the point. But the point certainly is that God will act in his own way. And you don't get to pick and choose what he will do. If he wants to save the nation, he'll save the nation. If he wants to judge the nation, well, he'll do that. He'll do that. God deals with things as he pleases. Now we think we've got it figured out, don't we? The Apostle Peter in the Garden of Gethsemane, I've got a sword here. I can stop this happening. Jesus says, why would you stop it? This is my hour of judgment. And judgment upon the world is poured out upon me. And as I'm lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. Why would you stop it? Cross is your salvation. And you see, it's your job as a Christian to be patient and to be accepting, to be submissive, to yield to the will of God. It's your job to watch to see what he actually will do. You've got to expect that, you know, wait for it and be eager for it. You've got to want it. Now, what I actually want for my neighbour, for my society, I want what's best for them. I'm actually commanded to love my neighbour. I want what's best for them. But what God actually does with this country, that's up to him. I don't get to choose my job. I'll just watch and I'll wait and I'll find out. Watch to see what he actually does do, and I'll be pleased with whatever he does. And if the same-sex marriage vote gets up, and if that brings us one step closer to persecution here in Australia, we'll say, praise God. Thank God for it. If it puts a cross in front of us, we'll say, thank you. What a privilege. What a privilege. Now, what will God do with our nation? We still want to know it, don't we? Oh, who's got a crystal ball this morning? Do some crystal ball gazing. Now, if I had to guess, I'm in that camp that thinks things are going to get pretty bad here in Australia. Now, maybe you'll get a different preacher in a few weeks' time. They'll say the opposite. That's fine too. I think things are going to get pretty bad before they get better. And it's not going to be the North Koreans nuking us. We don't need the North Koreans. We're our own worst enemies. We're good enough at cutting our own throats, I think, and our hell will be to be left to our own devices. And we're coming up to this same-sex marriage vote. Don't think that's just about love. You wouldn't be that silly, would you? This is deeply political, isn't it? It's a vehicle. It's a vehicle for suppressing Christianity, which is the great enemy of society, apparently. And there is this incredibly nasty and dangerous totalitarianism in the air. And we're being told, you're not allowed to disagree. You're not allowed to have an opinion. Just do what you're told. Vote yes. I suggested to my family some time ago that we put bumper stickers on our cars in support of traditional marriage, support of real marriage. What do you reckon? Should do that? Would you have the guts to put a sticker on your car in support of same-sex marriage or against, in support of traditional marriage, against same-sex marriage? I'm not sure I'd have the guts to do it. Why? Because that's how toxic things are in Australia. I was speaking to a senior elder of our denomination last week. He said he was hoping that he would see revival before he dies. He said it doesn't look very likely now. I'm inclined to agree, but I'm just guessing. What would I know? I've been trying to say, I don't get to pick. We don't get to choose this. It's in God's hands, and that's the point. And we watch to see what it is that he will do. You have to content yourself with that this morning. Content yourself with that. If God has chosen judgment, content yourself with it. Everything God does is just, it's righteous, it's good. Content yourself with it. That's Habakkuk's action plan here in our passages. That's what God is saying here. Just watch and see. So this morning, people of God, that was cheery, wasn't it? That was cheery. Pour out your heart to God. Be troubled. Be burdened. Plead for the nation. God, please let it be that we can continue to sing, Australians all, let us rejoice. But what else are you going to do? You're going to guard your faith. And be a bit careful. And you're going to watch to see what the Lord will do. And content yourself with whatever it is his plan is for this nation. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we can see the prophet Habakkuk really struggling in his society and wondering why. In a sense, we thank you for what he went through because we can learn from his experience. Lord, we are deeply burdened today. We are shocked, surprised, overwhelmed by the way our society has moved so far away from your truth. And we pour out again our prayer that you would move in our nation. And Lord, for those who are plotting great evil in this country, we ask that you would frustrate their plans. Our God, we ask that you would bring salvation to us all. Heavenly Father, help us in this day and age to guard our faith. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you would help us to be content with whatever your plan is. Lord, we ask then, reorientate our thinking. And if there are more difficult days in front of us, we ask our God, steady us for that. Strengthen us for that. Heavenly Father, help us to do whatever we can this week to show others the freedom of life in Christ. Help us to do what we can to show others the sanctity of marriage, but even more fundamentally, we ask our God, use us to bring others into life and salvation in Jesus. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.